Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here, and with me in the studio again today for the fifth time is Ron Meyer.
Hey, it's good to be here, Larry.
This has been so much fun. We've been unpacking the fivefold ministry taken from Ron's book, The Fivefold Ministry Made Practical, and learning about modern-day apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers. It's been fantastic. Today, we're going to focus in on the teaching gift. What is the teaching gift? How does somebody know if they have that gift? How does that work today in our century today? And dig into the Word to see how the teaching gift is such a blessing to so many. So, Ryan, let's open the door. How do you explain the teaching gift that's given to the church today?
And let me give you a very simple definition. A teacher is someone who can take something complex and make it simple easily understood.
That's good.
Someone, to expand on that, someone who can take the Word and be able to share it in such a way that people can clearly understand it and just clearly apply it to their personal life.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the New Testament, you know, of course, many taught. Are any specific person you say, oh, I think that person was probably a teacher?
Obviously, Paul was a teacher.
Exactly.
He taught a lot. We find Aquila and Priscilla.
Yes.
They had a strong pastoral gift, but they were teachers.
They did.
Taught a lot in the church that met in their home. And there's a number of others.
Apollos was
yes,
a teacher.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
You know, apostle, but also a teacher. So in light of all that, let's talk about it today. How does this gift work today? And how does this work with the other fivefold ministry gifts? Let's talk about the teacher.
Yeah. You know, I teach on the five G's. So apostles govern, evangelists gather, pastors guard. Anyway, the teachers ground.
Yeah,
they ground you, a prophet's guide. The teachers ground you in the Word.
Right.
According to Ephesians 4, they're the ones that make you immovable, regardless of the tests and the trials that come, because you can say anything, but how you respond in situations will really let you know and others what you really believe.
Yeah.
And the teacher's role mandate is to ground you in the Word. James says it's the implanted Word of God that is able to save you. So that's why a teacher is so concerned about the Word and so concerned the Word is taught properly. I can always tell when I have teachers when I'm preaching and I say something and I see them scrolling through their Bible or Googling or that kind of thing. I've had people come up and say, I Googled you three times this morning, you know, kind of thing. So because their bent is they want to make sure things are accurate, which is so
important.
Praise
God for that.
So important.
Yeah. So these persons with teaching gifts are sometimes misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
How's that happen?
Well, sometimes they're misunderstood because of their expectations. So someone with a teaching gift, I mean, they read the owner's manual. They are stuck in detail sometimes. So sometimes they're misunderstood because they can sometimes feel like or come across as, well, you find out too if you just researched a little bit.
Yeah.
Why don't you research? And because that's what they do naturally.
Right.
So it's interesting. Someone with a apostolic gift, an evangelistic gift, they can take a much shorter time to prepare a message than someone with a teaching gift.
True.
Someone with a teaching gift loves to research. They just thrive.
Mm-hmm.
They get as much fulfillment out of the preparation as they do the delivery.
Right.
As someone like myself, preparation, I love it when it's really flowing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a student where I can sit down and just study, study, study. That's just not the way I'm wired.
Right.
But I love when I can connect with people and deliver a message that I can see people responding to. A teacher, they can teach, and whether anyone's responding or not, it doesn't matter. They're just teaching. They're teaching the Word. They're teaching. They just want to get that information out. For me, I'm pastoral enough, I want to make sure I'm connecting. Mm-hmm. I'm apostolic enough and prophetic enough to make sure that people are connecting with the message that I'm presenting and with the Holy Spirit. So
right.
It's just a different right. mindset. Not a right or wrong. It's just mm-hmm. different.
You've served, you know, obviously leaders all over the world, apostolically, prophetically, all over the world. But there were many years when you were a local pastor. We call that local lead out in a local church. So from that mindset, how do you use people? How do you release people who have this teaching gift in the local church? Everyone can't preach on a Sunday morning,
right.
for example.
Yeah.
So how did you do that?
Well, what I encourage is, again, people are responsible to develop their own gift. Someone with a teaching gift, create a place for them to practice.
Right.
A small group is an excellent place.
Right.
But what I encourage people who have a teaching gift, it's not whether your message, whether you get to teach, it's the practice, the going through the training. Do some studying, create a message, create a 15-minute teaching, and present it to someone who is a teacher, mm-hmm. someone who is leading a small group, and say, this is what I developed. Help me out. What areas are weak? What areas are strong? That kind of thing. So I'm, again, exercising that gift mm-hmm. and looking for a place to use it, not demanding it, but making it myself available to mm-hmm. be used.
For all of you that are listening today to this podcast, again, we're in the midst of this series on the Fivefold Ministry, Apostles, Prophets, Evangelists, Pastors, and Teachers. And this is the fifth of the series. But I want you to check out the show notes. And if you have not read Ron's book, Fivefold Ministry Made Practical, so much of what we're talking about, but there's so much more in the book we've not had time to talk about. And again, it's my favorite Fivefold Ministry book, and I've mm-hmm. shared that all over the world. And I encourage Ron to write more and do mm-hmm. more on this. So anyway, check it out. You can get that on audiobook or through Amazon or through Dove International Bookstore, wherever you buy books. So let's talk more about this teaching gift. There's some other Fivefold Ministry gifts they would work better with, probably. I'm assuming
right.
maybe the pastor.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Right, and some would be harder. Just talk a little more about that.
Sure. There is a divine tension mm. in the fivefold. There's a
explain
divine,
that yeah, divine
yeah,
tension.
Yeah, there's a divine tension between the pastor and the evangelist, because
okay.
the pastor wants to care for those that are already there.
Yeah.
The evangelist wants to draw others in. There's mm-hmm. a divine tension between the evangelist and the pastor,
right.
because the pastor wants to take care of people that
right.
are already saved,
correct.
And the evangelist wants to bring people in. There's a divine tension between the prophetic and the teacher. The teacher wants to ground people, and the prophet wants to take them forward
right.
into what is. So to understand that tension, divine
yeah.
tension, and then the apostolic gift is able to nurture all that and bring that together
yeah.
Is just a beautiful thing. The teaching gift is so important and so critical to make sure that people are grounded.
Divine tension is a good way to say that. So how does this all work in the marketplace? If someone has a teaching gift in the marketplace, you know, in their business or their job, how would that flesh out?
They're the trainers. They're the equippers.
Okay.
They're the ones, you get a new piece of equipment. Why don't you set it up? Because they'll read the fine details. For me, I get a piece of equipment. I get something. I will start putting it together until I hit a snag. Then I'll start looking at putting it together. My son, as soon as we get it, he rolls out the instructions and reads over them. I'm like, I don't have time for that. I'll use that if I have a problem. So the teacher is the one who is able to build line upon line, precept upon precept. They're the ones that make sure it's built properly, because they're building long term.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's building long term, but they want to make sure that they build it properly so that it continues to last.
Yeah, we've touched on this on the other four podcasts, but I'd like you to use in this last podcast for those in the marketplace, for
mm-hmm.
those in business. Let's look at the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Okay, so how do these persons function in the business world? How do they function in Christian organization, or organization, period.
Sure.
How do they function? Like, the apostle would be what in the marketplace?
He'd probably be the leader. He'd be
okay.
He'd own the company.
Okay.
Or he'd be the responsible to grow the company.
Okay.
That's the way he thinks. He or she thinks expansion. They
okay.
think growth. They think moving forward, that kind of thing.
Keep building foundations.
Yeah, building
future,
foundations,
okay.
for making sure the foundations are proper.
Okay.
Systems in place for the next growth, that
okay.
kind
and
of thing.
And then the prophet.
And the prophet is is seeing where the economy is going, where the business is going, right. What are the things that are happening that will impact business in the future? Like, what are some things that they'll get a sense of, if we don't deal with this, we're going to lose a fair amount of employees. Uh-huh. We're going to lose market share. We're going to have this problem down the road. Second. So we need to deal with this today. Sometimes they have a sense of where the company should head, but they have no outlet to share that. So they just kind of sit on it.
Right.
And then the company comes back or the leaders come back and say, we're doing this. They're like, yeah, I could have told you that a year right. ago. Because that's the way they're wired.
If there'd be a freedom there, they could have shared that a year right. ago and saved yep. a lot of grief for everyone.
Yeah.
How about the evangelist gift?
So the evangelist, as we said, is the salesman. They're right. the ones that are the branders. They yep. sell the brand. They're the ones that are the ones that you want to have them on the front lines, yep. communicating to people. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are introducing new customers, that kind of thing.
This is powerful. It's yeah. powerful.
So, and to know that this is who I am, so you don't want to put an evangelist on putting the new piece of machinery together because they're going to miss three components and it's yeah. not going to function properly. You want right. to put a teacher on that.
Right. Pastor. How about the pastor in the
marketplace? Pastor is the one. They're the HR people. Okay. They're the ones that are making sure that things are happening, people are being covered properly. They're the ones that look over some of the benefits, the benefit package, the ones that will be always hanging at the water cooler. Someone with an evangelist say, how come she's always at the water cooler? Well, maybe that's because people are holding him up or they're talking to him. They're the ones that people will come and say things like, hey, I've never said anything like this to anyone before, but, and then they share those kind of things. Yeah. They share interpersonal things. Yeah. They find themselves just free to talk to them. Beautiful. That's the pastoral gift.
And the teacher.
And the teacher is the one that they're the trainers, they're the yeah, equippers, yeah. they're the ones that do the new software, the ones that set up training, in-house training, they're the ones that do the research. Hey, I want to know which software is the best thing to go. Have someone that has a teacher mindset, a teacher bent, they'll do the research. They love doing the research. I don't like doing the research. Just pick out the two and I'll right. make the decision yep. out of those two, but I don't want to look at five other reasons right. or five other software packages.
Do you think a lot of teachers end up in like Bible colleges teaching, do you think, or you know, Sunday school teachers or... Yeah, talk about that.
Well, those are all teachers. I don't know. I think there's many more teachers around than do that.
Right.
In other words, there's only a certain amount of people in there. But those people who do that are definitely teachers. Okay. But there is so many people that have a heart to instruct.
Right.
They have a heart to train. Yep. They have yep. a heart to equip.
Yep.
In any given small group, you'll have a number of teachers within that small group that really are just looking for a place to just be used and mm-hmm. utilized. Mm-hmm. And the best thing we can do is create an opportunity for them to develop that gift.
So someone, Ron, finds their gift and they find their calling, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, gift mix, whatever. Mm-hmm. What would your advice be for them? What's the next thing they should do if they figure that out? What steps should they take? What do they do with that? Where do they find accountability and training,
sure,
whatever?
Sure, sure. So the first thing they do is acknowledge it. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Second thing is to value it. Mm-hmm. This is the way God's created me to be. That's the second. Third thing would be to value the other gifts mm-hmm. around them. Because again, as I feel like everyone has a bent toward one of those gifts. So to value the way the apostolic gift thinks, to value the way the evangelist mm-hmm. gift thinks, to value the way the prophet, the pastor, to value each other and say that person has a valuable aspect because they're bringing a part of who Jesus is.
Right.
And together, right. as we work together, we can extend and expand and grow the church and bring the church to a place of maturity. So I value my gift. I realize that I'm important. There's an important part I have to play. I encourage others in their light gifting because I want to see them fulfill. And then I do whatever I can to grow that gift. I read. I listen to podcasts. If someone comes in to the local expression or I know someone who has that gift, mm-hmm. I ask them to pray for me. I take them out for coffee. I invest in them.
Good.
Instead of, I'm not afraid to ask them for their input How can I grow? What can I do differently? This is what I'm doing. What do you recommend? That kind of thing. Because I'm desiring to grow, and I'm looking at someone who has a greater ability than I have. So I'm tapping into that. We talked to one of the other ones that corn and bean grows by itself because it's in the right environment. I place myself in a
growth environment
will cause me to grow, because I have to go through the, yes, I'll make mistakes. Yes, I'll need to have input into my life. Yes, I'll be able to, I'll have to risk insecurities. There's times I'll be insecure. There's times where I won't feel comfortable. I need to be stretched beyond my comfort zone so that I can step into all that God has for me. Lastly, the realization and the understanding that there's so much more that God has for me to experience than what I'm experiencing, and He's placed me in that environment to cause me to grow. I'm submitting to those around me that He's placed me in, and I'm asking them, help me to grow, to be what God has called me to be.
So Jesus gave these gifts, these five gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, Ephesians 4, and to equip the believers, all believers, in ministry, to build up the body of Christ, so we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So really, according to that scripture, Ron, we cannot really come into unity without understanding and walking in the revelation of these five full ministry gifts.
Right, right.
So that's why it's so needed today in the church today. And there's such a, I appreciate so much what you've dug into this, made it practical for so many people. Again, if you're listening maybe the first time, Ron's book, Five Full Ministry Made Practical, is fantastic. It's on the show notes. Check it out. It'll be a great blessing to you. I know, Ron, you also have served in different parts of the world giving training on this, and you're willing to do that. And you can find more about Ron on the show notes. Ron, this has been a fantastic five weeks, really.
Yeah,
thank you.
It really has.
Anything else you want to share yet about the 5-4 ministry before we close today?
I think the final thing, and probably the clear perspective, that the fivefold gifts that Jesus gave is to equip people to function in their gift.
Yeah.
If we can see the body of Christ, if we can see those who have a strong evangelistic gift function in evangelism, and we're all called to share our faith.
Right, right.
But if we can see those who are wired pastorally to care for people, if we can see those who are prophetic to minister to people, to encourage them, to share with them, this is what we sense the Lord is saying. If we can see the teachers grounding people in the Word of God, and if we can see the apostolic birthing and laying foundation that others can build upon, we'll see the body of Christ functioning together, with each person functioning in the bent, as I said earlier, of the way they're wired, the lens that they're looking through life through, acknowledging that, yeah, this is the way God has wired me. This is the way I should function, and be at peace with that, and be fulfilled in that, and to function in that, be secure in their identity and say, this is who I am, and this is how I function, giving credibility and honor to all the other gifts around them. But this is who I am. This is what I do. So when there is a need pastorally, oh, that's what Ron does. Ron, can you go cover this? Or there is a need to we have an outreach or something like that. Oh, John, this is who you are. Can you lead that?
Right.
Where every person is doing and functioning the way God has called them to function.
Yeah.
And there's that sense of fulfillment at the end of the day. I'm doing exactly what God has called me to do.
And we're valuing the people around us who are different.
Yes, that's so key. That is so key.
Because we are one body. We're one body, the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Ron, thank you. Thank you for being on these five podcasts on the Fivefold Ministry Made Practical, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Again, check out the show notes. You can learn a lot more about Ron, a lot more about the Fivefold Ministry, pick up Ron's book, and looking forward to seeing you back here again real soon on the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast. God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.